Let's focus on fit in your application. Welcome to the 334th episode of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? Get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. I'm taking a week off for family time this week, and as a result, I decided to air an encore of one of our most popular shows ever, Focus on Fit. Now, as I just mentioned, that's kind of the theme of the podcast, fitting in, standing out. This show, though, is just on the fit part. I chose it not only because of its popularity, but because the topic is relevant to so many, if not all, graduate specialties, and even undergraduate for that matter. A solid understanding of fit is critical to success in your application as a whole, and specifically to certain parts of the application process, including the essays and interviews, either one of which may just be stressing you out at the moment. Now, if you'd like this episode, I'd like also to recommend that you download our free guide, Fitting In and Standing Out, The Paradox at the Heart of Admissions. Your application needs to show that you both fit in and will stand out. That's a difficult paradox that's, as I said, at the heart of admissions. Master that paradox, and you are well on your way to acceptance. Download this free guide at accepted.com/FISO for fitting in, standing out. Again, that's accepted.com/FISO. Thanks, as always, for listening to Admission Straight Talk. I'll talk to you again next week. In the meantime, here is Focus on Fit. I'm going to break down showing fit to four not-so-easy steps. And while they're not easy, they certainly are necessary if you want to get accepted to programs where the acceptance rate is less than 100%. So here is the first of the four steps. One, understand the school's mission and criteria for acceptance, because the truth can set you free and it can even help you get accepted. Almost all schools have a mission statement clearly on their site. For example, Stanford GSB's mission statement is change lives, change organizations, change the world. It's everywhere on their site. Not surprisingly, to me, the defining characteristic of accepted Stanford applicants is initiative, the willingness and ability to affect change in the face of need or opportunity. It's also probably one of the reasons it's tremendously entrepreneurial. Similarly, when we spoke to admissions directors for any number of business schools or medical schools, they all emphasize the importance of their school's missions. They usually start with their school's missions. And for, on the medical school side, you can look at any number of examples, but I'll just refer you to these three podcasts, accepted.com/115 with the director of Sophie Davis Medical School, the new medical school, accepted.com/105 with the admissions director for the Baylor College of Medicine, the directors actually at Baylor College of Medicine. Again, tremendous focus on the mission in that particular episode. Or accepted.com/103 with Case Western's admissions director. Again, you're going to hear about the importance of Case Western's mission. In addition to understanding and ultimately identifying with the school's mission, you also need to understand its criteria for acceptance. What is the school looking for? Now, some schools clearly state the criteria on their site. Among them would be HBS, Chicago Booth, Stanford GSB in terms of business schools. Harvard Business School has a page, Who Are We Looking For?, where it says all the students share the following characteristics. While they're very diverse, they share these things in common. One, habit of leadership. Two, analytical aptitude and appetite. Three, engaged community citizenship. On the med side, here are a few examples. UCLA Geffen School has a page devoted to basis of selection, which goes beyond course requirements, grades, and MCAT, even though those things are definitely included. It explicitly states that qualities like, quote, life experience, and in parentheses, research, volunteerism, etc., are considered, close quote. Furthermore, and again I'm quoting, preference is given to students who present high achievement in college and a capacity to develop mature interpersonal relationships. And again, end of quoting. Clearly, UCLA is looking for academic achievement, but equally clearly, this capacity for interpersonal, mature interpersonal relationships is also very, very important. And my guess is that teamwork is probably one important way to show an ability to develop mature interpersonal relationships. If you listen to episode 155 at accept.com/155 with representatives of Temple's Katz School of Medicine, you will quickly learn that Temple values teamwork. It's really, really clear, especially towards the end of the podcast it comes up. Similarly, for MBA applicants, you need to know the qualities that your target school says it's looking for. It's just that simple. So if Stanford is looking for initiative, your essays, descriptions of activities, and jobs should highlight those aspects of your experiences that show initiative. For HBS, it's a habit of leadership. For Stanford, they actually also have criteria listed on their site. It's demonstrated leadership potential. It's a little bit different. It's a habit of leadership at HBS and engaged community citizenship that the written parts of your application must reveal if you're going to get accepted. And the same process holds for law school and other graduate programs. Look at their websites, look at their brochures, listen to their presentations, and they should tell you what they value and what they're looking for. The basic understanding of what the program values and what it is seeking in application is the foundation of fit, because obviously, if you don't know what they want, you can't show that you have it. So understand what they're looking for, and then be prepared to show it. Now, the second element of fit, which is normally considered somehow something else, but it really isn't, it's still part of fit, is showing that you can do the work, usually through your grades and test scores. This is really important. It's foundational. It's basic. You have to show you can succeed in the programs you're applying to. And it's usually a stated requirement and one of the criteria most schools list on their site. However, it is so important that I have to mention it too, and it is part of fit. Some applicants believe that the stats, grade, test score, transcript, are the be-all and end-all of admissions. Usually those are the ones who have very good stats. Others believe that anything but the stats count. Usually those are the ones whose stats are so-so, and they're hoping that whatever else they've done will get them through. And sometimes they may be right, but somewhere, somehow, they do have to show they can do the work. In my opinion, any group, anyone claiming that one or the other is the end-all and be-all of admissions really has it wrong. You need both at competitive programs. You need to show you can do the work. You need to show you share the mission and support the values and understand what the program's about. Schools, even law schools, which definitely have had their application volume challenges in the last few years, want to admit students who can succeed in their programs, and that's why showing you can do the work is so important. Not only that you can do the work, but you'll have time left over to take advantage of the many opportunities most programs offer outside the classroom. And furthermore, that you're going to make them proud when you're an alumnus of their school. Stats give them that confidence easily and quickly. In that sense, they are part of showing you belong at a particular school and demonstrating fit, and that's why I've included this in this particular episode. Now, Accepted recently developed a fairly simple tool to help you compare schools on their selectivity. Selectivity Index is for, right now, it's for MBA and law school applicants, and it allows you to rank and compare schools based on test score, in the case of business schools, GMAT, law school, LSAT, average GPA, and then acceptance rate. We've combined it together into selectivity score, but you can also just do it on your own, if whatever, you know, you can sort it the way you want. And we'll be coming out with the med school very, very shortly. But for the values, mission, and soft criteria, that's for you to show in the non-quantitative parts of your application, mostly the essay, personal statement, statement of purpose, experience descriptions, activity histories, resume, and interviews. Which leads to step three. Now that you understand the values, the mission, the criteria, you've analyzed your stats so that you believe you're competitive and you can show you can do the work. Now you need to show that you share the school's values as presented in its mission and criteria. For medical schools, the secondary applications, which are coming out now, are all about showing fit. You can't do that in the primary because you're not applying to any specific school, but the secondaries, all about showing fit. Now that you understand the school's mission, values, and criteria, it's incumbent upon you to show that you share the school's values, identify with its mission, and meet its criteria. Yeah, I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating. Now, the best way to do so is to highlight activities that support its mission and show you in an active role supporting its mission even before you got there, and that reflects similar values and consequently prove that you meet its criteria. You can learn more about secondary applications and showing fit through these critical essays during next week's webinar on secondaries, because, yeah, that's what, Xcipit is having a webinar devoted exclusively to secondary applications. I'll link to secondary application strategies for essays that score interviews from our show notes for today's show at xcipit.com/162. For MBA applicants, the job of the essays, sometimes the video, and certainly the job history, resume, activity histories, is to reveal that you belong at School X like a hand in glove. Again, concept of fit. How you do that? In short, you use examples and specifics to answer the school's questions and prove that you share, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that you belong at your target schools. Now, I've recently presented webinars regarding the Harvard Business School and Columbia Business School's 2016-2017 applications, and fit played a major role in both these webinars. The recordings for the webinars are online, and I'll link to them from the show notes at xcipit.com/162. Today, July 13th, I'm presenting on Showing Fit, or the Stanford Graduate School of Business 2016-2017 application, at 10 a.m. Pacific and at 5 p.m. Pacific. So if you hear this recording on July 13th, we will probably still have a few seats available for each of these two webinars because we have a very generous license. If you hear this after July 13th, you can catch the recording when it's posted, which will probably take about a week or so after we actually have the webinar. Again, we will link from xcipit.com/162 to get accepted to Stanford Graduate School of Business. For grad applicants of all kinds, Showing Fit is very much about understanding professors in your department, their area of research interest, and the department's focus. It's absolutely critical to success. If you have any doubts on that topic, listen to Xcipit consultant and former head of graduate admissions at Hofstra, Carol Drummer, in episode 113, that's xcipit.com/113, when she talked about her beginning. She was head of graduate admissions for 10 years. When this really came home to her as a brand new graduate admissions director at Hofstra, and I think if anybody has any doubts about a site, you know, especially if you're in psychology about the importance of this concept, please listen to xcipit.com/113. All right, I'll tell you what she said. You can go listen to the original, and she'll tell you better. She was a brand new director of graduate admissions, and she went to a meeting, and she was very surprised that a particular applicant was rejected. She had great stats. She had good grades. She had good test scores. She had good community service and volunteer experience that, to her, appeared relevant. Well, the professor said, "Oh no, she's not showing fit here at all." Why not? Because all her experience and education had been in one school of psychology, and Hofstra represented another school of psychology. Again, for the details, go to the show 113. But that it was fit was so specific that even though she had grades, she had test scores, and she even had experience, you know, volunteer experience, it wasn't the right kind. It wasn't the right stripe. So make sure you show fit in all areas, even applying to graduate school. Interviews for any program and for every program and degree are about fit. Yes, they're also about presence and showing you're articulate and can talk and all that stuff. But in your interview, you want to show that you belong. And again, it's a matter of identifying what is important to the people interviewing you and then revealing that you have what they want. Some interviews are blind, meaning that the interviewer only knows your resume or only has reviewed your resume. Other interviews are informed, meaning that the interviewer has reviewed your entire application. For blind interviews, you can use examples from your applications as well as new examples. For non-blind interviews, you need to have additional examples and also bring new insights to the experiences discussed in your application. You don't want to just rehash what's there. With medical schools, multiple mini interviews, the goal is still the same. Show fit. But multiple mini interviews, or MMIs, are very different from the traditional one-on-one or even traditional team interview. And we had a whole webinar devoted to the MMI, and I'm going to link to that from our show notes at xcipit.com/162. So that was number 3, be prepared to show that you share the mission, you share the values, and you meet the criteria. Number four of our four not-so-easy steps. For MBAs and most academic graduate specialties, it's important to show that the school can help you achieve your goals. For most MBA programs, it is critical that you show this MBA program, the one you're applying to at this particular moment in time, can help you realize your post-MBA goals. Business school is not a place to figure out what you want to do with your life. What if you discover you don't need an MBA to achieve your goal? The MBA program will have an unhappy customer, and you will have spent a lot of time and money for something you don't need. And the same is true, of course, with other graduate programs. Consequently, in addition to knowing the school's values, you have to understand its placement strengths and how its programs, extracurricular activities, and alumni network contributed to those strengths and will help you achieve your dreams. Med schools also want to know that you want to practice medicine, that's for sure. That's why they insist that pre-meds have clinical experience before accepting them. Med schools also generally prefer that med students have some direction in terms of their focus in medical school, primary care versus specialization, research versus a clinical focus, but they don't require you to be committed to a specific specialty. At the same time, if you have that kind of direction and you are interested in a specific specialty, check out MedHound's story at exim.com/143, where I interviewed the founders of a site devoted to helping med school applicants find med school results data that can help you find the best school for you. And of course, in terms of showing fit, if a school tends to place a lot of graduates in a particular specialty that interests you, saying you have that interest is, again, a way to demonstrate fit. For other graduate applicants, with the possible exception of law school applicants, the purpose of your studies is why you have to write a statement of purpose. Again, it's fairly straightforward. Without that purpose, this is an extraordinarily difficult essay to write. Now, several years ago, one of my closest friends, we were actually roommates in college, came to me and said that her daughter is struggling to write her essay for a graduate program. I think it was a graduate program in psychology or social work or something like that. And could I talk to her daughter? And I said, of course, I'd be happy to. Now, again, this is my friend. We were at each other's weddings. We were roommates in college. I've known her daughter since she was born. This is one of my closest friends. And again, I know her daughter very, very well. But when she came over, there was a very simple reason that she was struggling. She couldn't answer the question, what do you want to do after you get your degree? She didn't have a purpose. And she couldn't write the essay, not because she wasn't a good writer. She was actually an excellent writer, but she didn't know how to answer the question. So you need to be able to answer that question, both in terms of purpose, both in terms of how you want to shape the program to your needs while you're in school, and how you intend to use the degree and the education after you graduate. Again, you have to understand the program and the direction of most of its graduates in order to show this kind of fit. For law school applicants, showing that you have an understanding of what law school is going to help you do is becoming more important. Direction is becoming more important, as is realism. But it still is not as important as for business school or academic graduate programs or even, obviously, medicine. Again, you have to be committed to clinical practice, but specialization is not so important. So let's review here the four steps that you need to take to show fit in your graduate school applications. Number one. You need to understand your target school's mission, values, and criteria. That means you first need to research them and learn them in order to have that understanding. Two, show you can do the work required at your target program. That is a critical element in fit. It's not something out there that's separate, it's just a part of it. Three, now that you have the understanding and you also are competitive in terms of your ability to do the work, reveal that you share the school's values and believe in its mission. Show that, not by mouthing the values and the mission statement and that kind of thing. No, that's not going to do it. Show it by revealing experiences, giving specific examples and anecdotes that show you in positions where you are living those values and living that mission. And number four, show that the program can help you achieve your goals and even your dreams once you're out of the program. And that requires you to understand what the school has to offer, as well as obviously to also have the self-awareness and understanding of your own dreams and goals and reasons for applying. Now, I've mentioned a lot of other relevant shows and resources in this podcast, and I'll link to them all from our show notes at accepted.com/162. That's accepted.com/162. A final point, I expect there may be questions on this material. I've presented a lot in a short period of time. Please feel free to post your questions in comments at www.accepted.com/162. There is a place for comments on the post or in the show notes. Listener, thank you so much for joining me for this Admission Straight Talks 162nd episode. If you find the show worthwhile and have friends struggling to show fit in their applications, please feel free to tell them about the show or about any of the other resources I've mentioned or about Accepted. One of our biggest values as consultants, not just as resources, as a free resource, but as paid consultants, is that we work closely with our clients to ensure that they show they belong at their target programs. Once again, thanks for listening. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.